for his contribution, but if you do have questions, we're going to ask them during the panel. Fascinating stuff. I love the economics of energy transition. Our next speaker is Kirishi Kampala, who is the Juniper Fellow at Juniper Networks. His current interests are all aspects of good old-fashioned MPLS, multi-protocol label switching, which I still don't know what it means, but I know what it does. Kirishi is going to talk to us about the crisis in transport and moving the purple line. So please welcome Kirishi.
Hello, everyone. Unlike Scott, I have no experience with regulators. Actually, I have one experience. I was at a conference, the Carrier Ethernet World Congress, a year and a half ago, and there was someone from YIPES, the CTO of YIPES, said, we need an Ethernet NNI, basically an Ethernet interconnect, and he said, we need to do this fast, and we don't want the regulators getting in the way. There was a UK regulator, Ofcom, she was sitting in the front row. She sprang up and attacked him. And he was so flustered after that, he didn't know how to finish his presentation. So I am standing here, quaking in my boots. I hope I don't show it, but hopefully you guys are not gonna attack me right away. So this presentation was actually about NGN, and for me, a next generation network is about the transition from a TDM-based network to a packet-based network. So we have so many different definitions of NGN, but that's my definition. I was asked to give a presentation on what's the right technology to use for a packet-based network, and I'm usually a technology guy, but I decided that we need a big step backwards. And so that's what this presentation is about, and hopefully I can get that message across to you. So there are three trends in networking. The first is that TDM, and some people will hate me for saying this, but TDM is past its prime. We were building TDM networks because our basic paradigm for communication was a point-to-point link, which was carrying bits. And you can organize the bits in different ways. One important one was organizing the bits as a voice stream. Another one was a T1 or an E1. So these were wonderful things, but over time, we're deciding to do things over packets. So voice is going to voice over IP. Instead of a TDM link now, we want a frame-based link, maybe with Ethernet. And TDM is also very expensive, and so that's a big driver. So the flip side of this is packet transport is on the rise. And the last bit of this is that packets and photons need to work together. What I'm transmitting is packets. How I'm transmitting them is using photons. Maybe not in the access yet, but that's a big part of this conference. But in the core, definitely. So let's look at how we got here. And I'm going to try to give a very brief history of TDM to understand why we build networks the way we build it and to see if there's a fundamental problem there. So here's a legacy picture. Here's an SDH pipe. And what are the characteristics of this? Deep channelization down to VT1.5, essentially to carry voice, but then also to carry T1s and other point-to-point structures. Framing, because I need to carry different kinds of things, starting with bits, cells, frames, packets, all kinds of stuff. Overhead, this is very important to be able to achieve good management of my circuits, to understand when they're working, when they're not working, to troubleshoot them. Fast restoration, 50 milliseconds being the gold standard. Traffic engineering, timing. Timing is really important, especially on the edge of the network. Well, a big part of the cost is this deep channelization. And if you say we don't need that anymore because we're going to voice over IP, and packet-based lease lines, then maybe we just get rid of this. So here's an idea. We remove the deep channelization. We simplify the framing. We don't want to carry bits anymore. We're just carrying packets. Split the overhead into packet overhead and photonic overhead, G709. And then move functions like restoration and traffic engineering into a different part of the network. So here's an idea. Let's transition to Ethernet. Instead of having SDH circuits, let's have Ethernet. We need simple framing. Ethernet gives you framing for packets. We need some OAM in the packet layer, and we need some OAM in the optical layer. G709 wrappers will get you that. If you need timing, you use synchronous Ethernet. If you don't need it, you can just leave it out. But you need this magic layer to capture the missing functions, traffic engineering, fast reroute, and so on. So this sounds like a really nice thing to do. You layer this on top of WDM and fiber. You have a wonderful network. Let's go. Definitely, if you remove functions and simplify the network, you will reduce cost, and that's a big driver here. So you can see on this that, you know, cost, that's what people are looking at. How can I get to 10 gig pipes, 100 gig pipes, and yet manage my costs? Of course, going from TDM to packets means you get statistical multiplexing. You also reallocate the functions from the hardware layer to maybe another layer where it's less expensive. You also eliminate a whole bunch of infrastructure interface types. So instead of saying I have ATM, I have SONET, I have different levels of SONET, I've channelized, I've unchannelized, I just have Ethernet. 10 gig, 40 gig, 100 gig, at least in the core. So all this sounds good, but then the question is, what's the magic layer? And this was the technology question that was posed to me. What do we do to get Ethernet to do the right things for us? But I think that's jumping the gun. And instead of trying to give you an answer to that, I'll go through this history and then come back and tell you a different perspective on that. So here's a picture from the past. You can see SDH down here, over fiber, and a bunch of services. And this separation of the transmission infrastructure and services is really important. And the services are the traditional legacy services, POTS, plain old telephony service, which is typically dynamically signaled, but statically provisioned lease lines, SONET interconnects, frame and ATM, etc. Then we had this little annoying thing called the internet come up and says, I need to move packets around. Give me an infrastructure to run on. So we put this over the SDH network. It got even more annoying and bigger and a lot more traffic, so we had to actually introduce a WDM layer to carry more bits, more photons on the fiber we had. And then we discovered that not only is the internet a nice thing, but the protocol that runs the internet is a nice thing, and that could be used for other purposes besides any-to-any connectivity between everyone and everyone else, or between everyone and Google, or whatever your favorite internet paradigm is. And then when internet protocol was not enough by itself, we introduced MPLS. So we know why we want it. We don't know what it is yet, but we know why we want it. To give connection-orientedness, traffic engineering, and other qualities to the internet protocol. Well, we've moved on from that. And MPLS has a whole bunch of applications. The internet protocol has a bunch of applications, and the internet has become really much bigger. So the internet is doing all kinds of other things besides academics sending email to each other, search, commerce, a whole bunch of things. But also the protocol underlying that is used for IP VPNs, voice over IP, VoIP peering, and so on, and IPTV, which is a big thing. I've sort of ignored the thing on the side, which is the cable infrastructure. It's always a bad thing to do, especially in a regulatory conference. But the internet protocol and MPLS as well have said that there are many more paradigms of communication than a point-to-point link between my handset and your handset, or a point-to-point link between my computer and some other computer. So there's point-to-point, there's point-to-multipoint, which is basically multicast. There's multipoint to multipoint, which is like video conferencing. And all of these paradigms are supported by MPLS, and IP supports this any to any. And we need new paradigms today for what people are calling point to cloud. So the fact is, we have moved on from carrying bits, we've moved on from TDM, we've moved on from point to point communications as the only paradigm. So the question is, what's this circle? What's this thing in the middle. What's the infrastructure we run on? In a couple of years, we'll even go further, and mobile gets into the picture, and mobile goes all IP, especially with LTE. And you have this, you have IMS, you have SIP, you have policy management, you have Web 2.0. So you have a bunch of things happening, and there's a subtle thing I'm doing here, which is take the legacy things, which is pots, leased lines, and virtual circuits, and make them look smaller and smaller. So maybe I'm convincing you that they're going away. They actually never go away, but they get smaller. Okay, so what's this thing? What's this magic circle in the middle? But there's something fundamentally wrong with this picture. And there's an expression that I like to use. There's an elephant in the room. We've lived with that elephant for so long, we don't even see it anymore. But it's sitting there, looming large. There's something fundamentally wrong with this picture. The question is the traditional organization still valid? The elephant in the room is this purple line, so I'll just go back. this purple line is the line that separates transport and services. It separates infrastructure from what you want to achieve on top of that infrastructure. And if you look here, here are my services. Here's my infrastructure. What is this stuff? That's not actually a service. The internet is a service. Access to the internet is a good thing. Voice over IP is a service. IPTV is a service. But the internet protocol is not a service. MPLS, per se, is not a service. So we have built networks this way. We've actually done a wonderful job overlaying this packet network on top of the TDM infrastructure we've built. But can we keep doing that? And people are saying, yeah, the transition from where we are to next generation networks is just we'll take all of our SD8 circuits and replace them with Ethernet. That doesn't work. You get small savings, you get incremental growth, incremental change, but we need fundamental change today. And the problem is the way we've built networks, we've done this for 20, 25 years, it's embedded in our psyche. It's just so hard to get to think differently about. It's embedded in how we organize, how carriers are organized, how regulators look at the network, how vendors like Juniper Networks build boxes. And it's also embedded in philosophies. Traditionally, transmission networks are very statically provisioned. IP networks are very dynamic. And so we want to keep them separate. It's also there in unions. So there are places where unions deal with layer one and maybe layer two, but usually they don't deal with layer three, IP and MPLS. The purple line is the separating line, and it's a really, really good concept. It says my infrastructure remains very stable, very robust. On top of that, I put new services. I can bring up a new service. I can change services around. And that separation is robust. But if you look at the picture I just showed you, there's essentially only one service on top of the purple line as we draw it today, IP-MPLS. But IP-MPLS is not really a service. The services are further above that. So the fundamental change we need to make is to say, packet transport and the means of packet transport should be part of the infrastructure. So here's sort of a stab at it. We move the purple line a bit. Doesn't really help. We don't really capture all the services. And the worst part is MPLS's success in large part is due to its good synergy with IP, unlike ATM, which was also a convergence protocol, but it didn't work well with IP. We have to first tease apart what is IP-MPLS. We say that as a phrase. We sometimes don't think enough about it. But there's actually four separate components to this. There's an IP-based infrastructure. There's a control plane. There's your IGP. There's your RSVP and LDP that builds LSPs. There's this protocol that says, how do I move packets around and where do I send them? There's an IP services layer, which is all about the internet, it's about IP VPNs, SIP signaling for voice, et cetera. There's an IP data plane that moves IP packets around and IP addressing and so on. And there's an MPLS data plane. When we say IP MPLS and lump all of these things together, we're actually not doing ourselves a service because we need to tease these things apart. So here's a stab at the right picture. You've got this IP-based control plane, which says what packets need to go where. And it controls the MPLS data plane that says, I'm going to set up these tunnels that will get my packets to the right place. Of this IP services plane that says, here are the services I need to run. And I've got all of these services. And in fact, IMS is largely an IP services plane. So if we do this, if we actually move the purple line above the IP MPLS layer, at least the IP control plane and the MPLS data plane, we now have an infrastructure that truly does packet transport. We've gone away from moving bits around on a TDM infrastructure to moving packets. This is how we know where to move them, this is how we move them, and this is the framing that we need to get there. This also maintains the synergy between IP and MPLS, but this is a fundamental change in how we look at the networks. Today, in carrier networks, the groups that do IP-MPLS, however you define it, and the groups that do transmission are kept more than arm's length away. They're only allowed to communicate by fax, because if they're in the same room at the same time, blood may flow. But the groups that do IP and the groups that do services are usually very close. But that's where you want the separation. You want these guys to be a little further apart at arm's length so that I can roll up a new service without affecting my network. But I want these guys talking very closely with these guys so I can optimize my network. So we can fill in the details. We've talked about this. There's an expression that Mike Odell, who used to be at UUNET 10 years ago, was very fond of. If you're not afraid, you didn't understand. This is actually a very scary thing to do. It's a big change in how carriers build, how they organize their networks, how they organize their people. And it's the people part that's the scariest part. But if we don't confront this, if we don't think we're building a next generation network, we need to rethink things from the ground up. We need to reorganize how our people talk together, how they're organized. We're not going to make real progress towards next-generation networks. So it's not going to be easy. It's a long time that we've built networks this way. But if we don't confront this, and whether this is right or wrong, we have to confront this problem and say, how do we rethink the network? The good news is we have at least some examples of carriers that are doing this. British Telecom, you'd think, you know, a slow-moving carrier. They decided, and in the space of 6 months, they changed their entire networking organization to lots of from lots of small silos, each with their own design teams, to one big silo that is called BT Design. All of BT network architects, whether they're the transport layer, service layer, IP layer, whatever, they're in one group. That's the first step. They've taken all of their network operators and moved into a silo called BT Operate. I wish I was here for Tim Cowan's presentation yesterday. Maybe he's here and he can correct me. But there are several operators that are saying, we need to rethink how we organize people. And organizing people is a really scary thing because, you know, people get upset. People get afraid that, you know, jobs may go away. Unions wake up and start making noise. And the regulators, of course, have to get into the picture. So basically, I'm almost done. I've already told you the punchline. The punchline is not about technology. We have to change the way we look at networks. We have to change the way we organize people. We have to change the way we really just build networks from the ground up. The consequences for carriers, for operators, the consequences for vendors, how we build boxes, what kind of boxes we build and how they talk to each other. For regulators, at what level do you regulate? So we just had a presentation by Scott on IP regulation. I would love to see, or IP interconnection, I'd love to see the same thing happen at the MPLS layer. Because MPLS is this convergence layer. And if I happen to be carrying ATM traffic, but in the middle of my network, it's all about carrying it as an MPLS payload. Do I want to go back to ATM before I hand it off to my peering provider? Or do I want to do an MPLS interconnect and just carry it seamlessly across the network and then drop it off only at my customer, again, as ATM or TDM or whatever it is? So having a way of doing MPLS interconnection, having a way of regulating this, understanding how the peering agreements work, how pricing works, and so on, this is all important. How quickly we can do this, how quickly we can sort of agree on the next generation network and start working towards that will affect how quickly we can truly move on to a next generation network. I'm very happy to say that I don't know anything about regulations, I don't know anything about unions, I'm going to stay out of trouble and not speak about that. So I think the purple line is an important concept, don't get me wrong. Layered networks are important, the separation of infrastructure and services is very important. I need to be able to roll up a new service without affecting my fundamental infrastructure. But I think over the last 25 years, we've let that line remain stagnant. We need to move it. And moving it is easy to say, it's easy to draw in PowerPoint, but actually making it happen is really hard to do. But I think we've made some incremental steps in that direction, and hopefully we can make more. That's